Following programming is sponsored by School of Investing Corporation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good morning, I'm Larry Steinhaus, and welcome to Money Chat Now. Money Chat Now is a politically charged stock market pre-show giving you the politics behind the biggest moves in the stock market. It is presented with comedic common sense by an expert in financial literacy, and hey, that's me, Larry Steinhaus. Today is Monday, June 13th, and I want to welcome you to the show. We are here live on WWDB Radio 860 AM in Philadelphia, and we are live on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Hey, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Truth Social and TikTok, and all those other social media sites by searching Larry Steinhaus. I'd love to connect. Hey, just a reminder, if you're watching online, hit that like button. Come on, guys, hit that like button. Hit that share button, and don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel and like the Money Chat Now page on Facebook. Hey, you can go to, by the way, moneychatnow.com and click that YouTube button, and you'll be able to go right to the YouTube channel to subscribe. You can also comment live during the show on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and please say hi so I know you're watching. A couple of people saying hi already. We got James and Glenn and Brandon. Thanks, guys. I always appreciate you guys watching. By the way, if you're commenting from a group and it's not the Money Chat Now fan page, your name may not show up on my dashboard, so please go to the Money Chat Now fan page and comment there so I know I'll be able to recognize you. Money Chat Now is brought to you by Investor Schooling, and you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday by going to investorschooling.com, and there you will learn about real estate investing, stock options trading, and all these things about money that you never even knew existed. And you'll learn them for those who do it every day. All right. Today's show, we're going to be talking about the futures update. We're going to be talking about Joe and gas. I think you know which Joe I'm talking about. And we're going to be talking about gun laws. All right, before we get to the beginning, I just want to say hi to a couple of people who have joined us since. We have John and Tom and Moshe. Thanks so much. I totally appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. All right, let's get into it. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do before I get up and go to the bathroom is look at the futures. This morning I got up and thought I was actually still asleep and having a nightmare. Oh boy. Friday was dismal, and it was all about the CPI report. The report showed prices rising 8.6% year over year, and 6% when you exclude food and energy prices. So economists surveyed by Dow Jones were expecting a year over year increase of 8.3% for the main index and 5.9% for the core index. Look, personally, I was expecting slightly less myself, but damn, that was a bad report. Wall Street reacted predictably with a major sell-off, of course, right? I hate margin calls, but I got one on Friday in this tumbled market. I got a margin call. Oh, I haven't had a margin call in a long time. The fear of the probable self-fulfilling prophecy of a recession is nearing, and that's, of course, making the investors crazy. They seriously can't reconcile the fact that many stocks are so low at this time that they just have to buy them versus the feeling of, oh crap, maybe I should sell before they even go lower. I got to tell you, I have a bit of good news. Maybe. If my dead zone theory is correct, and the dead zone theory that I teach in investor schooling is correct, we should start seeing an uptick this week and for the next 6 weeks. If you also add my theory about the range of the Dow being 31,000 to 33,000, we are now at the bottom of the range pre-market. I'll talk about that in a minute. And that should mean that stocks will move up higher as well. If I'm correct, we'll stay in the 31 to 33,000 range for another 8 weeks, and then it's curtains on those numbers. Next stop will be 28,000 to 31,000. And the other bad news on Friday, of course, was the consumer sentiment. It also dropped to an historic low of below 50. Just for comparison, I looked this up. I just got to tell you. So consumer sentiment is dropped to an historic low of 50. So just for comparison, when Trump was in office, it hit an historic high of over 100. If you voted for this guy, you know, this is your own fault. And if you didn't, I'm sorry. We also have Wall Street preparing for a more aggressive Federal Reserve rate increase in response to the surge in prices. The two-year Treasury yield, which is seen as one of the most sensitive to Fed rate hikes, jumped above 3% on Friday to hit its highest level in 2008. And there's that year again. Whenever a record-breaking bad news number comes in, it's compared to 2008. When I tell you we are 2 years away from the year 2008, It's what's happening. It's going to be the same disaster. And this is partly where I get the numbers from, because we keep seeing 2008, 2008, 2008. If my chart rating for silver is correct, by the way, you still have about 5 years before silver goes over 50. This is why I keep buying it. Soon the crypto craze will be over, and the money will roll back into safety like silver and gold. Gold will probably increase about 50% in that time as well. Write it down. Remember I said it. Crypto is finished. I'm telling you now, it's finished. I finally understood over this weekend why cryptocurrency will never be what they said it was supposed to be. Crypto was supposed to replace fiat currency. As I reported last week, there are over 19,000 different cryptocurrencies at this time, and there are only 180 fiat currencies. So the idea of crypto to bring the world under one umbrella currency in the future, clearly it's not going to happen. However, in a Facebook conversation I had this weekend over a joking post I made about creating a new coin called Gascoin, basically this conversation convinced me. To make a long story short, two millennials, about 25-year-old living in their mom's basement, by the way, were telling me how I know nothing about crypto. True or not true, the idea that someone has to take 100 hours of courses in order to understand how to use the currency is the biggest problem. I know that four quarters equals a dollar. I could teach that to a four-year-old. And the question is, can you teach crypto to a four-year-old? I don't think so. All right. I've been avoiding looking at the futures for the last 7 minutes, but I guess I have to now. Oh, the Dow is down 587 points. The S&P is down 91. And the NASDAQ is down 341. It's going to be an ugly day, but it's not going to stay there. So watch either today in the afternoon, we're going to come back, or tomorrow we're going to come back. Just wait for it, because I'm pretty much looking at the numbers that are going to be 31,000. So I'm actually going to predict right now that we'll end at 31,000. All right, real quick, a couple of people have joined us. We got Jose and Carrie and Joe, and of course my lovely wife. Thank you, Linda. I love you. And let's get there. Let's go here. All right, let's talk about Joe and gas. And you know which Joe I'm talking about. Well, we know the largest price increase and major portion of inflation numbers are the current gas prices. We topped $5 a gallon this weekend, and it looks like we're headed right into Trump's prediction of gas being at $6 or $7 a gallon shortly if you voted in Joe. Well, the doddering old fool currently occupying the White House is continuing to get feisty over being blamed for the current situation of gas prices. So, of course, he lashed out at reporters last week. When he was asked by a reporter if his administration plans to go after oil companies' profits, Biden launched into a verbal attack on Exxon, one of the largest oil producers in the world. Biden yelled, "Why don't you tell them what Exxon profits were this quarter?" Biden advised the reporter, "Exxon made more money than God this year." What's the matter, Joe? Now that there's a war in Ukraine, your boy Hunter isn't getting his salary and you aren't getting your kickback anymore? Come on, big guy, stop it. Of course, Exxon stepped up and objected to several of the president's accusations. Their spokesperson said, "We have been in regular contact with the administration informing them of our planned investments to increase production and expand refining capabilities in the United States." Biden also spoke about the broader inflation trends and again blamed Putin and Russia's invasion of Ukraine for record high gasoline prices. Of course, it can't be Biden's fault. What Democrat takes responsibility for everything? The fool rambled on about the fact that they're buying back their own stock instead of drilling for new oil. He then screamed to Exxon to pay their taxes. Seriously? Is this guy off his rocker? How many of you came to the conclusion that part of the gas price hikes are Biden's poor relationship with big oil companies? If he keeps slamming them instead of working with them, they will artificially raise prices just to make sure he can't get voted back in. Hey, Biden, shut the F up and work with these guys instead of making them your enemy. By the way, for all your liberal friends out there who say, if it's Biden's fault, why are gas prices up in the UK? Well, I decided to do some homework, and this is what I found. Gas prices year over year in the U.S. are up 62%. Yeah, I know, they're up over 100% since this Nimrod took office, but up 62% and year over year in the U.S. compared to the U.K., where gas prices are up 20% year over year. I realize Johnson isn't all that bright either, but it sounds like he has a handle on this problem, especially when you realize that if you want to blame Putin, remember, less than 8% of our oil came from Russia, and that supply hasn't even completely stopped yet. So why the 60%, 62% increase, Joe? It must be something you are doing or not doing. Open the pipeline to Canada and stop overcharging for drilling permits in the U.S., and these are simple solutions. Even your crackhead kid could figure that one out. After all, he was getting paid over $1 million a year to be an expert in the field of oil from Ukraine. He was an expert, wasn't he? I mean, $1 million a year salary shouldn't make him pretty smart. Come on, come to think of it, right? Dr. Fauci was also getting $1 million salary. Huh, maybe they're not so experts after all. Hey, let's take a break here, and coming up, we have more on the new gun control laws that are sweeping the country. See you in a minute.
Okay, so you thought about buying and selling real estate. You've thought about investing in the stock market, but don't know where to start. Well, what if you could find a place to unlock strategies to master both real estate and the stock market, all without the headache? That place is Investor Schooling, hosted by Larry Steinhaus, an expert in real estate, financial literacy, and the ins and outs of the stock market. You can attend Investor Schooling in person or online 8 times a month. You can and will learn how to make money in real estate, and you will learn mastery of stock techniques such as options and covered calls. You will even get a chance to ask one of your burning questions to the stock options sultan, the master of picks and plays. Call 866-424-2829 for free information and receive a complimentary pass to attend classes or register online at investorschooling.com. Don't delay. These passes are limited. So what are you waiting for? Call 866-424-2829. That's 866-424-2829. Or visit investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com.
Right, welcome back to Money Chat Now. I'm your host, Larry Steinhaus. And of course, if you'd like more information on investor schooling, you can go to investorschooling.com or call 866-424-2829, 866-424-2829. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening on WWDB Radio, 860 AM in Philadelphia. And if you're watching online, please hit that share button so you can help your friends learn how to make more money. All right, everybody, hit that share button right now and share it on your page and share it in some groups that you know. Hit that like button. Let me know you enjoy the show. And you can also leave comments on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And, of course, I'll try to respond to them live. By the way, I love it. Jose online, guess what the one word I said when I woke up this morning and looked at the futures? I'm going to guess that it began with an F and it was four letters. But that's all I can do. All right. So far, we've been talking about the futures. And right now, of course, the Dow is down 589. The S&P is down 91. And the NASDAQ is down 340. We've been talking about Joe and gas prices and how this guy is just a complete idiot. Stop it already. Take responsibility and do something. Coming up, we got gun laws and, of course, today's picks and plays. But first, did you guys hit that like button? Come on, hit that like button, hit that share button, and don't forget to leave comments on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, or Twitter. And if you're listening on WWDB Radio, be sure and set a preset to the station and listen every day at 7:30. Also, look up Money Chat Now on Facebook when you get home and let me know what you think of the show. Hey, before we start the second half, did you know that I have a book? Actually, I wrote a book called Money Hacks. It's actually a really great book. I'm getting a lot of great reviews on it, and I appreciate everybody with their reviews. And by the way, if you're listening online and you have the book and you haven't left me a review, leave a review. Go to Money Hacks at Barnes & Noble, and you can order it on Kindle or Nook right now, and you can get the physical book in about 6 weeks. Actually, in about 4 weeks now. All right, let's get into the second half. Let's talk about the new gun laws. All right, for those of you who have never read the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, let me start this segment with it as it was written about 246 years ago. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Look, I don't care what your views or interpretations of the words a well-regulated militia. The rest is pretty clear language. Being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now we have several states and federal laws continuing to close in on our Second Amendment rights, and it's going to be a problem in the future. We have seen throughout history the effects of taking guns away from people, and now we are even seeing Ukrainian citizens wishing they each had an armory of weapons in their home to defend themselves against an attacking country. Well, of course, we have the other side of the equation, you know, like the crazies who shoot up schools and malls because a chip inside their head goes overload and they just don't like Mondays. So now we have new legislation in which a few Republicans, like the ones in Bucks County, you know, like Brian Fitzpatrick voted for, which is changing laws and countering the Second Amendment. They're calling it a bipartisan framework that has measures intended to limit some access to firearms, paving the way for the broadest federal legislation on guns in decades. The first part says the legislation would ban any weapons or raise the age of buying assault-style weapons to 21 from 18, which was the age of the gunmen in both the Buffalo and Uvalde, right? So these guys were 18 years old. This was a statement from the committee drafting the bill. Our plan saves lives while also protecting the constitutional rights of law-abiding Americans. So I guess that you can only be a law-abiding American if you're over 21. Is that how it works? So law-abiding Americans are from 18 to 21 are not law-abiding Americans? I don't understand that. The group of senators releasing this statement were led by, of course, Senators Chris Murphy in the Connecticut, John Cornyn in Texas, as well as Christian Sinema, whatever the heck his name is, and Thorne Tillis. Braindead Biden stepped in and said that he supports the bill, but made this statement. Obviously, it does not do everything I think that is needed, but reflects important steps in making the right decision. Biden urged lawmakers to quickly get it to his desk. As I read the details of the bill, there's nothing in here but raising the age of buying guns, what they call basically assault weapons, until the age of 21. Everything else is just stuff that's obvious and is either being done or common sense said it should have been done. One part says that background checks should go into sealed records of crimes committed when the applicant was a minor before issuing a gun permit. I gotta tell you, this is probably the only thing I agree with. It's a great idea. Even red flag laws make sense until you realize that anyone who is mad at someone could just call in and say something like, my boyfriend has a gun and I think he's going to use it. You know, even if he never said anything like that, the problem is they're going to go and they're going to take his guns away just because somebody said that. Another issue is that this age requirement for so-called assault weapons has already been taken to the Ninth Circuit Court in California, and the judges there overturned a ban on weapons for those under 21. That means this bill will be challenged anyway. Unfortunately, this virtue-signaling politician that always want to make themselves look good when a tragedy occurs, none of these changes will stop someone from walking into a school and shooting it up. The only thing that will work is keeping the crazy shooter out of our school or neutralizing the threat before a tragedy happens. Why do we have armed guards in facilities like courthouses that protect adults but not our children? Stop the madness by stopping the madman is the only solution. The new gun laws won't stop anything, and frankly, both sides of the fence should be furious at the politician using these recent tragedies to gain popularity with voters. Maybe we should take away their armed guards and make the White House, Senate, and Congress a gun-free zone like schools are. By the way, the NRA chimed in on this matter in a report to Fox News this weekend and stated the following. The NRA is committed to real solutions to help stop violence in our community. We encourage our elected officials to provide more resources to secure our schools, fix our severely broken mental health system, and support law enforcement. Huh? Support law enforcement? What a great idea. Maybe if we had support for law enforcement in this country, we would not have had a bunch of officers more afraid of the repercussions of stopping criminals, and maybe it would have made a difference in the response time at Uvalde. The NRA also said the NRA will continue to oppose any effort to insert gun control policies initiatives that override constitutional due process protections and efforts to deprive law-abiding citizens of their fundamental right to protect themselves and their loved ones into this or any other legislation. By the way, because of this, I'm renewing my subscription to the NRA. They are probably the only thing standing between the government and the freedom of the citizens to have their Second Amendment rights. All right, let's take a break here. And when we come back, man, is it getting ugly. I'll see you guys in a minute.
Hi, I'm Larry Sinus, and I've written a book called Money Hacks. The subtitle to this book is Because Everything You Think You Know About Money Is Wrong, and I promise you there are things you think about money that are wrong. There are chapters in this book that I think you will find absolutely fascinating, and some of them are, what is money anyway? Can money buy happiness? I'll bet you don't know the answer to that question. The truth about credit scores, how you can actually use credit cards to rebuild your credit. I also have chapters on being your own bank, how to buy houses with an IRA, and how to invest with other people's money. There are so many other chapters. There are 22 total chapters in this book, and I promise you're going to learn how to make more money and pay less taxes when you buy this book. My name is Larry Sinus. The name of the book is Money Hacks. You can get this book wherever fine books are sold, and you can go to BarnesandNoble.com right now and pre-order it. I hope that you will enjoy it.
All right, welcome back to Money Chat Now. I'm your host, Larry Steinhaus. Hey, by the way, did you guys order that book yet? Order the book already, will you? Order the book. What are you waiting for? I'm telling you, it's going to be great. It's Money Hacks, and go to BarnesandNoble.com, Money Hacks. Look at the reviews, and of course, if you haven't left one, please leave me one. All right, so far we've been discussing the futures update, and the Dow is down 605. The S&P is down 94, and the NASDAQ is down 359. Yikes. Wow. Wow, it's bad. We talked about Joe and gas and how the guy is absolutely clueless. He's absolutely clueless. He does not understand that he is the reason gas prices are where they are. Stop it, Joe. Be nice to the oil companies. Do the right thing and prices will come down. We talked about the new gun laws and they're a joke. Really? You know what? Go ahead. Go ahead. Pass them. Go ahead. First of all, the 21 thing is going to be overturned, and all your Democrat buddies are going to say, oh, look at that. You did us a big favor. You did nothing. And then the next time there's a shooting, you know what? The next time there's a shooting, sue the Democrats. All right. Coming up, we also have today's picks and plays. But first, did you hit that like button yet? Did you hit that share button? Let everyone know what great stocks are playing, what great stock plays are coming up by sharing the information. Don't forget, hit the share button, hit the share on your page, and also in groups that you feel will benefit. All right, you can also leave comments on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And if you're listening on WWDB Radio, set one of your presets to this channel and listen every day at 7:30 for all you need to know about the politics behind the stock market, or the politics behind my head. All right, let's talk about what's going on. Oh, it's an awful start of the day, and it's a terrible lead into the week. I got to tell you, especially after last week was so awful. Look, I've been talking about a range where I think the market's going to be going. The current range, if it holds, should be 31,000 to 33,000. But if and when it hits 33,000 again, it will be the last time for what will be my prediction of about 4 or 5 years. So we're not going to see these numbers in the Dow for 4 or 5 years again. We will be pulling back into the 26,000 to 28,000 point range on the Dow in the next 6 months. It's going to get really ugly. The hard part is trying to find good plays in this mess. One good play, and I said it 2 weeks ago, is that when the Dow hits 33,000, buy puts on the SPY. And by the way, if I would have just listened to myself when I said it, it would have been a great play. And I didn't do it, of course, right? I don't like anything in the next 3 days, and I recommend biting your nails up until the Fed releases their notes coming up on Wednesday. It's time to hunker down, be careful. Be sure you have access to cash when we enter this recession. I like the idea of buying stocks and holding them right now, and even if you have to hold them for the next 5 to 10 years, the good companies with a long history of higher prices will come back. Look for dividend-paying stocks and hang on. I still like AT&T as a play for this, and it's a great long-term play. I also, believe it or not, I still like the travel stocks, but don't expect them to rebound immediately. I know I need it, but I'm pretty sure it ain't going to happen in time for my options, which expire next month. It's just going to be bad. But at the same time, they're good stocks. Don't buy them as options. Buy them as stocks. Also, do simple things like paying more on your mortgage or buying stocks a little bit at a time. These are some of the things you can do to prepare yourself for the recession that's coming, because it's coming. I'm telling you now, it's coming. I don't care if it's coming this year or next year. It's coming. Now, the recession isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it could be bad if you're not prepared for it. Come see me, by the way, at Investor Schooling. I'm going to show you many ways to prepare for an upcoming recession. All right, let's take a final look at the Dow, and let's see what's going on. Minus 610. I actually think it's going to close above 31,000. Just keep that in mind. Take a look at it today. The S&P is down 95, and the NASDAQ is down 360. Yike. All right, let's get into crypto. Oh, boy. As I said before, and I'm telling you right now, crypto is done. I don't care what your friends, uncles, aunts, best friends, niece says. It's done. It is not coming back. Bitcoin just went below 24,000, and if you're really, really not sure, wait for it to hit about 22,000, and if you really want to take the shot, it might go up to 28,000, but at 28,000, get out and take your return. That'll be a pretty nice return. Get out, take your return before it goes below the 22,000 again, because once it is, it's going to go back up, but once it is 22,000 again, it's going to be headed for under 10,000, and it's going to get really ugly soon. In fact, I would predict in 2 years it'll probably be below 5,000. So just keep that in mind. It's not coming back. All right, gold and silver are still about 1850, and silver, actually gold is about 1850, and silver moved down a bit to 21. I still think that's a great play. The Treasury bonds are moving up, and they're hovering in the 3.25 range, and this is another sign of a bad day. I told you before that that was going to happen. If the Treasury bonds moved above 3.25, the market's going to drop, and that's where we are right now. All right, oil. Oil moved down slightly and is now at about $119 a barrel, and of course, the average gas price is $5.01. So, let's go, Brandon. All right, guys, listen. This is what you got to do. You got to come to Investor Schooling, and you got to learn about how to save money and how to make more money, because when this recession comes, it's going to get really, really ugly for you. So come to Investor Schooling. Also order my book, because I'm telling you, all of these things are going to help you. The book's 20 bucks. Take a shot at a book. It's 20 bucks. All right, I want to thank all you listeners on WWDB Radio, 860 AM in Philadelphia. I want to thank you for your continued support. And if you're enjoying the show, please reach out and let me know. My name is Larry Steinhaus. I am the host of Money Chat Now. I am also the CEO of Investor Schooling. And, of course, you can contact me directly at contactlarry.com, contactlarry.com. That'll give you all the different ways to contact me. And you can even make an appointment with me if you'd like me to review something that you're working on financially. By the way, I wanted to say hello to Write for Bucks, a bunch of people this weekend. I went to a party, Write for Bucks, and some people promised me they were going to be listening this morning, and so I want to say hello to anybody who's been listening, and make sure you reach out, let me know you were listening, because it was a lot of fun. All right, from time to time, I own some of the options and assets discussed in this show, and the opinions discussed in this show are solely mine, and no one has asked me to discuss them. Make it a profitable day.